Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
You know, last Sunday we talked about the dependency that we must have upon the Lord, that any kind of success that we might have when we pray through, when the Holy Spirit answers our prayers, we always have to return to the place of dependency upon God. It's always a place we're always dependent upon Him. And we never, ever give up on heaven's goal for our life. Heaven has a plan for us. God has a goal that you and I not only would be winning souls, but we would become more and more like Jesus Himself. So we thank God that He still loves us. You know, I think it's really impossible to live a great life unless we live a meaningful life. I don't think we can live a great life. It's very difficult unless you have a meaningful life. And a meaningful life is impossible without meaningful work that is done with people that you love. It needs to be with a group of people that you love. Jesus chose 12, did one of the most meaningful things that anyone has ever seen. Sure, He did it Himself, but He chose people to do it with. Because when you have meaning in your life, there's an intrinsic value, and life becomes beautiful. Life truly all of a sudden has meaning. And we make a distinct contribution to the kingdom of God and to this world. We make a contribution that makes this world more beautiful because we make a difference in this world. How many of you know Christians make a difference? We make a difference. And if we want to really be successful, we can never capitulate. Never. We must remember who we are in Christ Jesus. We can never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. Now, we must be willing to change. Whew, that's a tough one. We must be willing to change and adapt, but we can never give up on our core values, on what we understand. And one thing I know is we need each other. We truly need each other. We need to remind each other how much we need each other. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but encourage one another daily, every day, encouraging one another while it is called today, not tomorrow, saying reach out today and touch someone today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Because when you encourage someone, it helps you. Did you hear me? When you encourage someone, it is helping you. It helps you from becoming hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because you're beginning to speak words of encouragement to others. You don't encourage your brother or your sister just for their benefit alone. As soon as you speak a word of encouragement to someone, the first person that is blessed is you. You're the first person that receives the blessing when you speak a word of encouragement. Encourage one another so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. God's word always has a purpose. It's purposeful. It's beneficial for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Because what does sin come in to do? Sin comes in to destroy. It comes in to steal. But encouragement builds up. Just as in fact you're doing, the Apostle Paul says. So to encourage one another becomes something that is beneficial not only to them, but beneficial also to you. Now, I think the Apostle Paul actually had a list. He had a secretary. Secretary followed him around, Timothy, took notes for him, helped him. And I think he actually had a list of people who he could encourage. And I think he was always thinking about how he could bless someone else. That's one of the secrets. I think his mind was always set on being a blessing to someone. I think Paul had that mindset because he himself was always encouraged in the Lord. He was always encouraged in the Lord because he was always encouraging someone else in the Lord. Because when you encourage someone else, the first person you encourage is yourself. And he had a list that he used to keep, a list of people that he could encourage. Wouldn't it be great if you made out a list this week of people to encourage? I mean, just think about it. Make a little list and somewhere Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, start crossing them out, start calling them up, start writing letters, start encouraging one another. Make a list to encourage people. What a blessing that would be. We have a ministry called Cards of Encouragement. And if it's your birthday and they happen to get it on the records, they send you a birthday card and they're always encouraging. If you're sick, they encourage you. It's important to encourage one another. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 helps you if you're feeling a little under the weather, if you're feeling a little discouraged. Proverbs 11, 25 has a spiritual law and it says this. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's a powerful word right there. You refresh somebody else, it's refreshing you also. And when we as a congregation, we decide that we're going to be an encouragement to missionaries because we give a missions offering every month. We bring it in and we send it out to support missionaries and we encourage them. When we have an evangelist come, at times we take offerings for them. If we don't take offerings for them, we give them a good offering from the general fund. We're always trying to encourage them. When we encourage our sister churches that are in this area, that are Assembly of God churches, and we do things to assist them and to help them, when we encourage our pastors as a congregation, it's almost like God puts a laser-guided image that marks you for encouragement. See, you give your thing for missions, you give your blessings, you give an encouragement. There's a laser that comes out and it points right at you. In Taiwan, when we used to meet in the Taipei train station, six elevators, you'd come upstairs, had a 1,200-seat auditorium, and there was a moment in my prophetic ministry, the congregation, it was pretty well spread out, much bigger than this, farther away. Some of them, I think, didn't have a great command of the English language because we had so many different cultures that were there. I started bringing with me a laser pointer. And so if the word would give me, the Lord would give me a word for somebody, I'd take the laser pointer out and I'd point right at them. This word is for you. And everybody look around, oh, it's on me. Look around, there's the pointer. And finally, a doctor told me, Pastor, that's not a good idea. If you hit somebody in the eye with that laser pointer, you could put his eye out. You're supposed to be healing eyes, Pastor, not putting them out. So I stopped with the laser pointer. But I still feel like that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is like a precision-guided munition that is matched with the same pulse. And whenever you're encouraging someone else, it's almost like there's a laser pointer that comes from the Spirit of God that points right upon you. And that same value that you're encouraging somebody else with, that same thing comes back to you and points upon you. Because Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the Spirit strikes the target with precision and with precise words of encouragement that you need also. That's the way the Spirit works. And the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit are the same. They counter destructive patterns of insecurity, self depreciation with so many people are cutting themselves down, feelings of inadequacy and alienation between people, and a shattering of self-worth. And the fruit of the Spirit brings trust, compassion, unconditional love. It brings an acceptance, even when it doesn't come from other Christians. And some Christians may not knowingly, but they lack the compassion of the Holy Spirit in some of the things they say to other Christians. But the Holy Spirit is not like that. The Holy Spirit is always positive. So when you speak that word, it's almost like that pointer comes right back at you, and you're going to be blessed with the same measure of blessing that you give out. That's why being an encouraging person is extremely important. When you encourage someone, maybe you speak just a kind word to them, a gentle word. Maybe it's a prophetic proclamation that you speak into their life. When that comes to them, it comes into their life, and it sets you free as well as setting them free. That's just the way encouragement works. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. It's like a fresh word from the Spirit that comes into our hearts and encourages us. How many of you can testify of being a target by the word of discouragement? How many of you have ever been targeted and a word of discouragement has been spoken? A word that has the purpose of driving you into a depression or activating anxieties into your life, and the word is spoken into you. And the only way to overcome those attacks is to raise up that shield of faith. You raise up that shield of faith, then those discouraging words, they stick to the shield of faith and they don't penetrate into your spirit. Recognize who God is and what God has done in your life and how much he loves you. But when God targets you with a word of encouragement, instead of lifting up a shield of faith and ducking under it, you begin to lead with joy. Something comes out of you. And all of a sudden, rather than hiding and ducking, you begin to lead and you begin to become strengthened with a new enthusiasm and power that renews your mind when a word of encouragement comes your way. How many of you know in these days that we live in, you need a word of encouragement? I hate watching the news. I cannot stand what's happening in our world today. And there are days when I really need a word of encouragement. How many of you are there with me? I need a word of encouragement. None of us would be able to continue to persevere to do God's will without the words of encouragement, without words that would come into our heart. God speaks words to bring life to us. Many pastors in many churches have lost their faithfulness because of discouragement. Many people in the congregation, Christians, have withered because of a lack of water, the water of the word of encouragement that would speak to their hearts. That's the reason why I like to encourage people in the congregation. I love walking around and encouraging you, whether it's through a sermon, a touch, a friendly word after the service, even people who are counting on Monday or serving in the building during the week, or people that are working at the donut hour and the fellowship hour, people that are working in the church. I understand that as I encourage others, as I begin to speak words of encouragement to other people, God puts a target on this pastor. He puts a target there, and he sends a word of encouragement to me to deliver me from the fiery darts of the enemy. As you encourage others, God encourages you. Jesus said it, and it doesn't just apply to finances. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, pour into your lap. Luke in 6:38, he says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Not just finances. You need a word of encouragement, give a word of encouragement. If we give courage to others, we begin to receive courage ourselves. In these last days, there are going to be many trials. There are going to be many tribulations that are going to be coming our way. They're going to increase according to the Word of God. The courage to persevere in obedience as a Christian is going to be directly proportionate to our willingness to be encouragers. We must be encouragers. And especially young people, if you have a desire to be used by God, you need to set your goal on becoming an encourager right from the very beginning. Not bullying, none of that, no backbiting, no gossiping, no complaining. 21 days is over, hallelujah. So be an encourager rather than a complainer. Be a person who speaks a word into someone's life that brings encouragement. Probably the greatest ministry that any of us have is to be an encourager. It's probably the greatest thing. When I think about my own ministry over the years, I was really an encourager. A new pastor. You don't know what you're doing when you're a new pastor. You're practicing. Just like a doctor practices medicine. You're practicing. And I always wanted to be an encourager. I always wanted to encourage people. When we began our ministry, we started churches and we hardly got a salary. We began overseeing home groups. And in those home groups, basically all I did is encourage people in the home groups. We co-pastored a church while I was in graduate school. And all I really was, we were waiting for a full-time pastor to come. We were there for, I don't know, maybe a year, co-pastoring a church while I was in graduate school. And really, I just encouraged the people. Then when we pastored our first church ourselves, they knew I was going to the mission field. I told them before I came, I will come, I will serve, I will encourage, but we'll be going to the mission field. They knew it, but I came to encourage. And even as a missionary, during that time, I wore so many hats. Senior pastor of an international church, 3 languages, Chinese, English, Tagalog. I served in an apostolic role. We had 17 outreaches and factories and overseeing them and out starting new churches, 17 of them. And I was an adjunct faculty member for Global University, training pastors through correspondence, national director, regional director for Global University throughout Asia Pacific, held crusades in Thailand, Philippines, Malaysia, Singapore, preached district councils in the Philippines, in the national churches, directed China radio, broadcasting the gospel into China, AM, FM, shortwave, radio, internet. I built new studios in Taipei, had offices, wonderful offices. I served on national committees. The board of directors of the Assemblies of God Theological School asked me to become one of their board of directors. I served at Baguio, Philippines, at our graduate school there. I've served on several boards in the United States. I've served presently on Network 211 and Asia Pacific Board of Regents. And all of these things, as I look at all these things, and the only reason why I mentioned them to you today is for one reason. When I was thinking about my life and thinking about all the things that I've done, I began to wonder and ask the Lord, what has been the greatest achievement of my ministry? And it's almost as if the Lord spoke to me and says, it will not be what you have accomplished, but it will be what those you have encouraged accomplish. That's a word. Those that you encourage, what they accomplish. And there will be those from this congregation that will go forth and they'll touch the world for Jesus. And you never know how God will use a child that has been encouraged. Thank God for our children's ministry and our youth ministry. Thank God for the men and women that are mature, that enter in and encourage our young people. Our greatest achievements may come through someone we've encouraged. In 1 Samuel, there's a wonderful example in chapter 14. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young man, this armor bearer, come, let us go to the Philistines' outpost on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by a few. Jonathan, he's the son of King Saul, the king of Israel. He's next in line for the throne. How many remember this heroic act that I read in 1 Samuel chapter 14 that Jonathan did? Notice his statement of faith in verse 6. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by a few. Saul has 600 men waiting under a pomegranate tree. But Jonathan decides to attack the Philistines himself, and he takes only his armor bearer with him. He puts on this faith that God has given him. He crosses the ravine, climbs up a steep cliff, and he attacks the Philistines. In less than 500 feet, he kills 20 Philistines. And God places supernatural terror on the Philistines, and they all flee, and he wins the victory. This was one of the greatest victories in Israel. It was one of the greatest victories in Jonathan's life. But it wasn't his greatest victory. It wasn't what he was remembered for. His greatest achievement is when he encouraged David. That was his greatest achievement. Even though Jonathan was heir to the throne, he laid aside his royal robe and he encouraged David, who went on to do greater exploits than Jonathan ever did because of his encouragement. Most of us don't remember Jonathan's great victory at Michmash, but we do remember that he was a great encourager to King David. What takes more spirituality? What is more spiritual, killing a Philistine or giving up your kingdom for another? Which is a more spiritual act? The world tells us we should have the mentality of Muhammad Ali. You know, Muhammad Ali, he said, I'm the greatest. I'm the king of the world. And Jesus tells us that we will do greater things than he did. He didn't say that he was the greatest. He said that we would do greater things than he. He was the great encourager. Your encouragement helps others achieve greater things than you will ever do. A word of encouragement. Barnabas, a great apostle, preached great sermons, invoked many miracles. But his greatest achievement was his encouragement of the Apostle Paul. He was the one that went and encouraged Paul to come to Antioch to help. He was a great encourager. And Paul went on to write 13 books of the Bible. Barnabas never wrote one. You can encourage your brothers and sisters in so many ways. Simply by speaking a word. Simply by talking to them. Just a word. Because the Bible says that your sons and your daughters, you're going to prophesy. And the term prophecy not only includes telling something about the future, but it also means a word of encouragement. That's what a prophetic word is. A prophetic word is a word of encouragement. So any kind of encouragement can be a prophetic gift. You can encourage someone by financially blessing them when you know that they're in a difficult situation. You can encourage them by putting a thanks offering on Sunday to help the poor. You can encourage people by visiting them, just simply calling them. How many people today call their neighbors and say, I'm coming over for coffee? Hardly anybody. To be an encourager, to visit people. Join the ministry, cards of encouragement, and write cards of encouragement to people within the congregation. On your list that God gives you, begin to encourage people on that list one at a time. You see, Barnabas, The name Barnabas actually means son of prophecy. That's what his name meant. And the scriptures declare that in the end of times, your sons and your daughters will speak words of encouragement, prophetic words, words of encouragement to encourage one another. We all need to be encouraged. There'll be great words of encouragement that will be spoken among believers to strengthen them in the perseverance of being obedient to the Lord and what God has called you to do. I thank God for the notes and for the emails, the letters, the words of encouragement that come from this congregation to the pastor. You write words to encourage all of our pastors. Thank you for those words. And those of you that write the other kind of words, don't worry about it. I have a wonderful trash pile for those. If you don't sign it, that's where it's going to end up. If you don't sign it, Heidi already, that's it, they're gone. If you sign it, I'll read it. Because somewhere within your word that you say, even if it's a bit discouraging, there may be some truth, and it can help me. And I understand that. So if you want to write those kind of letters to bring some kind of a word of whatever you want to call it, sign your name. It'll help me. If you don't sign it, I'm not reading it. We want to encourage one another. Amen? Amen? ABC News highlighted an award that was given to a person of the week, they called it. The man's name was Norman Borlaug. He was a scientist. He was responsible for saving the lives of 3 billion people. He was a scientist, and he developed a strain of corn and wheat that could grow in arid climates. And this prevented famine in third world countries. The newsman mentioned that perhaps the award should have been given to Henry Wallace, who at that time was the vice president of the United States. Henry Wallace, he had a vision for helping mankind through botany, and he funded a laboratory in Mexico and personally recruited Norman Borlaug to run it. Then the newsman said, well, maybe the award should have been given to George Washington Carver. He was a very famous botanist who had taken an interest in Henry Wallace when he was just a boy, and he sowed a vision into his life. And then the newscaster said, well, maybe the award should have gone to a farmer whose name was Carver, who changed the economy of the South by putting in peanuts. And Carver was a slave owner. And during 1850s, he treated his slaves like they were part of his family. And then some people, desperate people, came and they captured several of his slaves and they murdered one of the young mothers. And this farmer, Carver, risked his life and he traded his horse for the children, the slave children that were left. And he adopted one of the children and gave his name George Washington Carver. This farmer, Carver, he didn't know that his encouragement of a small black baby would result eventually in the salvation of 3 billion people just a few generations later. It's amazing. Being an encourager will result in some of the biggest rewards in heaven that have ever been offered. Just by being an encourager. It's the kind of achievement that leads to eternal significance. It'll always be directly proportionate to the amount of encouragement you give. Our reward is connected to what we give, because what you sow, you will also reap. To persevere in obedience, you and I have to become encouragers. We talked this week about 21 days, no complaining, no griping. But here is a word that we must take into our hearts. To be truly successful, to be truly the kind of person that Jesus was, we must be encouragers. He said, greater works, even the works that I do, greater works you shall do. Lord, help each of us to be encouragers. Amen. Father, as we come to the close of this time of fasting and prayer, and especially griping and complaining, I pray that the Spirit of God would place upon us a mantle of encouragement, that we would become people who would speak into the hearts and lives of those that are around us, that we would encourage them to go beyond where they are, to follow the Lord, to truly become people who are more and more like Christ. Help us, Lord, with giving us these words of encouragement. Make this list that we make it be something that we do naturally because of the love of Christ within us. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Now, I want to encourage you, if you're here, I don't know where you are spiritually, but you're here, and you would say, I really want to be like Jesus. And Jesus was a great encourager of everyone and anyone he met. If you want to become more like Jesus, to be an encourager, the first step you need to make is to make sure you have Christ in your life. That's the first step. If you're here and you're not sure Jesus is in your life, there's only one way to be sure. Jesus says, to as many as received him, he gave them power to become the children of God. You have to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You have to ask him to come into your life. And when you do that, he comes into your life and he begins to change you. He changes you from being a complainer and a griper to become an encourager. If you're here and you're not sure whether or not Christ is in your life, this is something that we do every Sunday. We give you an opportunity to respond to the word. You're not joining this church. You're simply responding to the Holy Spirit as he's tugging on your heart right now, and he's asking you to humble yourself and to ask Christ to come into your life. If anyone is here that's in that state, this is not to embarrass you. This is to assist you in the first thing that you're going to do to become the better man or the better woman that you want to be, is by asking Jesus to come into your life. If you're here and you need Jesus, it's going to take courage for you in this group, but don't worry about it. We love you here. If you need Jesus, I want to ask you just simply to stand to your feet right now. Anybody in the audience? Balcony, main floor. Then I want to encourage you as a believer, which everyone in this room says they are. I want to encourage you to become an encourager. To encourage. May at the end of this time of fasting and prayer, a new mantle is placed on your life. Now it's not a mantle of, I'm not going to complain. Oh no, I complained. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to be an encourager. I pray a new mantle upon our hearts for 2018, that we would be great encouragers. If you're willing to say, Lord, help me, remind me to be an encourager, stand with me as Pastor Ken leads us in a chorus. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Encourage one another. Build each other up. God bless you. Shake hands with 27 people and say, be an encourager. God bless you.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org. Voices that keep telling me I'm not right, but that's all right, 'cause I hear a voice and it calls me every day when others say I'll never be enough. Down.